OmeletRadio.com. No program director, no general manager, no FCC. This should be interesting. No Rules Radio. Let's do this.
Welcome to another podcast. It's Sunday morning, another beautiful day on the deck. Rick Coates joins me once again today. I'm very lucky to have, as well, Sam Porter, a great longtime friend. And good morning, sir. Welcome to the home.
Yeah, it's a beautiful home. This old 1800s barn right here.
It's like puppy bowl this morning here, though.
Sam brought his new puppy, Labrador Retriever or Golden Wood. You know, they're the same, right?
Yeah.
Golden Retriever.
Joe.
Over Joe, the new puppy. How old is Joe?
Joe's almost 4 months. He's a English Lab, and Joe was my great-grandfather's name, but also my imaginary friend because I grew up on
Joe.
A farm.
Aww.
I didn't have
Joe,
any friends because it was it's by Rapid City.
No kidding.
Yeah, and so I had my imaginary friend was named Joe.
Nice.
So I always told my wife if we have a boy, it's named Joe, and she didn't like it, but I said that's the way it's going to be, and it never happened, so I got a dog.
That's awesome, man. Yes, you got three daughters. No sons on that one.
Oh, it's awesome.
But the dog is cute as can be, and it's going to be a huge dog. When we got to take some more pictures of Joe so the people can
see. We'll get some pictures up on your Facebook page.
Sam Porter is here. We're going to talk Microbrew and Music Fest, which is happening next weekend. And but first, let me tell you that if you shop online, shop on Amazon, and go through my website, OmeletRadio.com, get a couple percentage points on the amount that you spend, and it goes back to the podcast. I buy more microphones or whatever. So shop online, but go through OmeletRadio.com. And the other thing is Camp Omelet update, just a quick update, and we'll talk Microbrew Fest. We have the bands are booked. The bands are booked, and there's another reason why Sam is here. Oh, the Cooper is playing with Joe.
Showing who's boss.
Yeah.
Cooper's letting.
Joe's going to be running this place in an hour.
Yeah.
What an adorable pup. The pup.
Told you people, this is like puppy bowl here.
Right. And they're facing off in the octagon. This is like McGregor Mayweather. So what was I saying? Oh, Camp Omelet. The bands have been booked, and Sam Porter is potentially getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have tents. We're going to have staging. We're going to have lights. We're going to have everything.
Food, vendors.
Yeah,
now.
That's right.
I mean, it's getting crazy.
We have, first of all, Six Gun is playing at Camp Omelet, and Bloodshot Victory is also playing once again at the wonderful Camp Omelet, and also Billy P and Kate are on the bill as well. So we have three bands Friday, There's Bloodshot Victory, and then early in the day on Saturday, it'll be Billy P and Kate, and then closing out the night will be Six Gun with Johnny Six Gun with his platinum blonde hair flying through the air, going upside down, doing cartwheels and flips off the balconies.
Right. And people are going crazy about all of this. I see people are saying, hey, do you need security? We don't need security. Did you see that request?
Man.
We do
it's
not need
love.
Security. No security. It is definitely peace and love. And we've got people have stepped up. The Eagles are going to, on Saturday, the Eagles Club of Traverse City, who owns the facility, they're going to have food from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Right. And
available.
Beer.
And beer.
They're going to sell beer for $2.
Yeah. So you don't need to bring anything. You don't need to bring anything. Call that company down in Kingsley, order up a RV for the weekend. They'll deliver it. And then you just show up with some clothes, and they'll have firewood there. They'll have beer there. They'll have food there.
People that need accommodations, like Ray the Gourmet, he's coming up from Florida. And, you know, he's no longer a tent camper. So there's this outfit in Kingsley. We told you about it last time. They'll take the RV out there. What's wrong with Joe? Is he crying? They'll take the RV out there, and they'll set it up for you, and then they'll come and take it away afterwards. There's no driving. There's no driver's license required.
Well, what I've done is I've arranged for the coop. You know that coop house over there on 8th Street? I've arranged for that to be out there for me, a Camp Omelet.
That's perfect.
Indoor plumbing and everything. But then didn't you say Friday night, is there going to be a barbecue there Friday night? A barbecue guy?
Well, this guy contacted me. Okay. The guy that's downtown, he has the log cabin.
A Shabble barbecue.
That's right. He said he'd like to bring his barbecue down.
Awesome.
And so since we're not going to have food vendor on Friday, then maybe he can come down for Friday. So
more
there'll
on
be
that
something
later.
For everyone.
Yeah.
Enough about all that. But listen, Camp Omelet is happening. It's 5 weeks away, actually, from this past. So we're less than...
Yeah, five
More
weeks
from
last
weeks
Friday, yeah. Four and a half weeks away. Depending on when you listen to this podcast, it might only be a month away.
That's right. September 8th through 10th, and it's at the, what is it called?
Well, it used to be Eagles Metal, but I think they've now renamed it Camp Omelet. And
that's
I know
right.
you've, the Camp Omelet, home of Camp Omelet, I think is what the sign now says.
Sam, we came to meet with you earlier this week, and you gave us the lay of the land because you had a beer camp out there as part of one of your events.
Yeah, we laid it all out. It's a really, really nice, it's a 20-acre spot with a center kind of facility with kitchens and overhangs. So rain or shine, there's a place to hang out. Really nice bonfires. There's power for people so they can tie in and, you know, you don't have to have generators for those, but I mean, obviously, you can bring anything you want for Camp Omelet. So.
I'm not promising electrical sites for people.
No,
but there are a few extra outlets.
Bring
some extension cords.
You're 15 minutes away from the dunes. You're 15 minutes away from Traverse City. It's right in the middle of, you know, the Gold Coast of awesomeness, and you can't beat it.
Bring your bathing suit because you could take a day trip to Empire Beach. You could. I know that Ray the Gourmet. I need to get him to the Sleeping Bear Dunes because if you travel into Michigan and we're 6 miles away from the beautifulest spot in the world, then you got to see that. So take day trips on Saturday.
Right.
That's why the music only starts at like 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. People get up and go into. I mean, Empire Beach is gorgeous in the morning, right there. So, yeah, it's a great spot. I'm stoked to see you guys bring it back. I think a lot of people are. There's a lot of people that wanted to go that couldn't go, like my wife, and she's excited about going. So
I can't believe Abby's going. I'm so excited.
It. She's like, I want to go. I'm like,
what
well,
are
let's
the plans
go.
For the kids, though? You got the in-laws?
We always get creative. Tranquilizers.
Lock them in the house.
just kidding. But no, we family, friends, babysitters.
All right.
Maybe we'll start, you know, Camp Pancake down the street.
I am super excited. Oh, and make a camp sign. That's always a big thing where you make your own sign, name your own campsite, because we can't remember everybody's name if you say, you know, it's camp. How many hundreds of names can I choose from right now? A lot of them. But anyway. Yeah, name your campsite, make a sign, you know, whether it's on the back of a beer cardboard box or if some people get elaborate and light them up with lighting and stuff. Anyway, so Camp Omelet's coming. I'm super excited. Sam's going. Sam's helping us out. Porterhouse Presents. And now let's talk about an event that's coming up this weekend, a little more immediate. Mm-hmm. I want everybody... almost go to Microbrew and Music Festival as like kind of a safety meeting for Camp Omelet. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And if you want to meet up before Camp Omelet, you want to talk a little Camp Omelet, let's meet next weekend at the village of the Grand Traverse Commons. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the names these days.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got about six names
Building
over there.
50.
Right. Yeah. State Hospital.
State Hospital. But it's the village of the Grand Traverse Commons, right, which is right near my house as the crow flies, probably a mile from the venue.
And this is the 10th annual.
Right. This
tenth
is annual. We've had 17 total, and that's a lot over 10 years.
That's a lot. You've been a huge supporter to the Michigan craft beer industry, but one of the things that's going to be exciting about this year is, well, every year, the entertainment, but to see this Led Zeppelin tribute band that everybody's been raving about around the world is going to be so awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I really wanted to do something unique, and when I saw, I'm a big Zeppelin fan, and it's, I saw that it was the 50th celebration. I said it's a good year to bring somebody in, so we brought in Zoso, and they're gonna crush.
Wow,
they're gonna crush. So Friday night's a really cool, just kind of for Zeppelin fans or just anyone. I mean,
that's incredible, Sam.
It's gonna be fun. And then, but all the other bands are great. You know, we got Joe Hurtler and the Rainbow Seekers. You know, opening, supporting for Zeppelin on Friday. And then there's, you know, three stages and a huge Silent Disco production. The Silent Disco production this year is massive. It's three stages, over 1,000 headsets. Yeah.
How many headsets do you have?
Over 1,000 in there.
What?
Yeah. So it's in one of our crazy tents. Three stages. We got champion beatboxers. You know, that one guy who's right out of a Dr. Seuss. He plays this thing called the Magic Pipe that was made by NASA.
That's okay. They're just playing.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at
my
Joe. Puppy.
That was Joe. So you just excited. Heard there.
Joe,
did he? He's just barking at,
right,
at Cooper.
Right. Cooper's starting to ignore him now.
Okay,
you know, it's starting to ignore him. So yep. Joe wants some attention here.
Yeah, he'll keep pushing him. There he is.
But yeah, so nothing like an old veteran
kids,
dog.
Go
and
play
then
somewhere else.
Young
I don't like dogs.
Just jumping in his face.
I don't like pets. I don't like dogs. Go play somewhere else, please. Jesus, they're like hanging all over me here. Yeah, they're cute.
No kids and no pets at Camp Omelet. Nor at the Microbrew and Music Festival. Can you bring kids in there?
No, you know,
no.
You know, sometimes the bands like Spearhead and others are great for kids, or Brandy Carlile. And so people literally come out and sit on the outside of the fence and, you know, just check it out with their kids.
I see. But the policy is there's no kids.
It's 21 and,
yeah, yeah,
21
yeah.
and over. It's a beer fest everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have, you know, it took me a long time to break through the have alcohol at a festival or event in Traverse City. Remember those days? And,
yes.
And the first one really that was a big one was the symphony event, and then from there they realized that with good controls and a nice design that we can be Europe, we can have programs that allow, you know, kids to come while, you know, they're on dad's shoulders and he can have a beer, you know.
Sam, what do you how do you feel about that? I mean, have we bastardized alcohol in this country? It seems like, you know, just like you mentioned in Europe, the people are, you know, you're 16, you have wine, you're with your family, you know, it's just like, it's not a big deal. Like nudity, not a big deal. Like, why are you like, oh my God, I saw a boob. Oh, like we've almost made it a bad thing by banning it or limiting it or, and,
no, I, you know,
like the,
you know,
permits and stuff and the city, there's only liquor, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's everywhere's different. And, you know, I love the European traditions. You know, some of their festivals are over 200 years old and they celebrate the Calcut green onion, right? And everyone drinks wine and they pour it, you know, from 3 feet up in the air and down their mouth. And the kids are all over the place, you know. But they always create space for kids, and kids feel like it's their event too. And they realize that their parents, you know, celebrate wine and the traditions of place that make us who we are. I mean, craft beer, wine, it's a big part of our economy. It's a big part of our culture. As long as it's really, you know, portrayed and designed in a way that I think is authentic and genuine to place, and not just a, you know, a cash grab, get wasted festival. And that's
right.
And that does happen across, you know, you look at, like, you know, Town Square Media and some of the companies out there that are doing the, excuse me.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just worried about the
here?
Wires.
Hey,
if we can unplug. He's fine. You know, the little dog is actually beating up the big dog.
Right, yeah, you're
Joe's
right now. Joe's
fearless.
Running the show here.
He's
Cooper's
fearless.
Getting tired, and
he's
Joe's
like, right.
Still like full of energy.
Yeah.
But what I was,
you know,
even within our country, I just got back from New England, and there was an instance where I was trying to buy a bottle of wine at 9:30, and it was, they don't sell
Sunday.
Alcohol in Connecticut. No, not after 9 o'clock, 7 days a week.
Yeah,
and they used to not sell on Sundays, and they don't sell in gas stations or supermarkets. You've got to go to a specific liquor store. It's just like,
yeah. I think it's a good thing. We're just, what? we become too alcohol intensive.
1:30 in the morning.
Plan ahead.
It makes you do that, but you just go over to the state line and then you're buying and then the tax money goes to another state. It's really weird, especially with states so jumbled up close to each other. You know what? Yeah. You're right, Rick.
Everything has their, whatever, yin and yang. There's a problem with anything. So whether it's food or alcohol or, I think Traverse City is going through a ton of management to really, there's also a level of saturation. There's a level of, accommodation issues. I mean, some of our biggest draw to the north is the alcohol tourism. The wine tours, everything.
The beer tours and all of that. But the problem then on the other end of the token, like you said, is that we've got this sort of good publicity and negative publicity coming out at the same time about the area. We're struggling with leadership.
Negative people?
It's just some negative publicity. Like, for example, Traverse City is rated the most expensive tourism destination this side of the Mississippi, even more expensive than Chicago. Yeah. And then we're challenged by some leadership issues right now. There's been a lot of changes in the primary leadership positions. Menzel leaving, so the county, they couldn't get somebody hired there. They've got the second choice now. New city manager as of the last couple of years. Right. New CVB or tourism director.
New downtown development.
Yeah. So that sort of makes it a challenge when everything is changing at one time. And what's our vision? Remember the grand vision?
Right.
We used to call it double vision.
The grand illusion.
Yeah, the grand illusion or double vision.
Yeah, whatever happened
to the grand vision?
The tunnel vision program. We should start the tunnel vision program.
So I think it is a challenge for people. I think it is a challenge for people that are, because one element is we got to make this town hip for younger people who want to live here year round.
Right,
not
that is
just
true.
Retirees.
They seem to come, they
not
seem to
tourists.
Raise here and then they leave here. They need a reason to stay here.
Yeah.
That's why we need a microbrew. Music
industry.
Festival every weekend.
I think hospitality is a big focus, and I think housing is another big focus, and I see all the arguments, and I feel that we're working on some projects around temporary housing solutions and ideas to create high opportunities for housing based on temporary structures, not brick and mortar developments, and those are things like tiny houses,
like igloos.
More like places where people can come north, work for 4 months, and have a really, connected nature, environment to live in that doesn't cost them arm and leg or isn't available.
Right, because there's a lot of seasonal workers, right?
Yeah.
And need housing.
Yeah, I've been going to the farm conferences and all these events, talking with farmers. We're working on, yurt structures, tiny houses, really quick and easy, really affordable. I mean, some of these yurt structures can sleep 2 to 12 people and they cost $12,000.
Wow.
And you try to build a brick and mortar, addition above your garage and it's $200,000 with permits and red tape everywhere. So it's just, we're going through change because the solutions are out there in the global format and the fabric, but not necessarily here in Traverse City yet.
Because we have the geographic area for it. We've got the room. You just drive 2 miles outside of the city. Yeah. Like where I am, and the things open up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting, the affordable housing, though, that's the real challenge. The other day when I was driving up on the Leelanau Peninsula, right there on the base, I saw this big sign for a new development right on the water, and it said, starting at 1.5, units at $1.5 million starting. Who can afford that?
Yeah.
Not people that are living here year-round.
Well, the water's one thing.
It's the peninsula, though. That's the
It's the base of the Leelanau Peninsula across from Tom's there. That building right there.
Yeah.
They're going to build this skyscraper, 28 stories or whatever.
Well, affordable housing. I've always said you drive down Long Lake Road here a couple miles, and then you start getting out in the sticks, and you got affordable housing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well,
you go to Kingsley, Buckley,
Kalkaska. Hey, Joe, stay here, buddy. Stay here, Joe.
You have to commute a little bit in.
Call the puppy back in. Well, hey, Sam, as he goes and grabs Joe real quick, I know you're working on a lot of projects. Some things you can't discuss now, but maybe another podcast with Omelet down the road about some big projects. But one thing I thought was really cool is that in a month and a half, you're going to be out in Philadelphia with Live. Can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Live Nation, and they're going to do a big microbrew and music festival out there, and this may take off all over the country with Live Nation, right?
Yeah, a lot of our work is built to replicate. And, you know, whether it's right now, I'm in conversation with a guy in LA around bringing back paella in the park, you know, things that I kind of did in Traverse City. Traverse City is a smaller market, so it's necessarily a lot of our events, even Microbrew Music Festival, aren't sustainable for the amount of time and money that we put in. Paella in the park's another one. But in LA or Philadelphia, where, you know, they need really authentic, you know, music and food and just a really a lot of work put into the experience event, because in a lot of those major markets, they're controlled by bigger media and tours that come in, and they're like beer festivals, but they're unlimited tickets and you drink as fast as you can for 4 hours. And there's no really music. They just, everything about it's just like a cash grab go.
Yeah, you were showing Omelet and I the layout for this event.
My God.
All of the vendors. This thing is right on a pier, kind of like the open space in Traverse City, but obviously a lot bigger. But how many breweries and bands? Yeah. And
well, you know, it's a great lineup. We're talking with a lot of the core Philadelphia famous bands, you know, Joan Jett and Weens and DJ Jazzy Jeff and Rusted Root. They're all
nice.
From there. Amos Lee can't be there. Hall & Oates is from there. And so we're talking with them. Joan Jett's manager got back to us, and he was really, really excited about it. We're trying to raise money for Carter's Kids to build playgrounds. They've already built one in Philly among their, they built 65 across the U.S. Great organization. And so what we're going to do is, it's a really unique platform because we're going into a Live Nation venue that has a concessionaire, Legends, who does like Madison Square Garden, some of the biggest spaces. And we're also working with Ticketmaster. And these are big platforms of you know, expensive ways to go see a show.
Yeah. I mean, you got exclusivity with those venues and those tickets. So
yeah,
you're getting an opportunity to go into one of those.
Yeah, and so, but I went to them, all of them, and I made a proposal for each that said, you know, craft beer fans and this type of event that raises money for a local community purpose, you know, can't, you know, they don't really resonate with, you know, if you buy a ticket, it's a $20 fee on top, or if you buy it,
nobody can resonate with that.
Yeah, well, everyone does.
But you have to. You have everyone no choice. Does. If you want to see Tom Petty, you got to pay the $20 extra fee.
Way more.
Or more, right.
You know, I mean, if you have a $150 ticket, like a VIP, it's like a $45 ticket fee.
Yeah.
So
wow,
but that's the way they operate. That's how they make it happen. So you know, and the concessions was, you know, $16 pint for craft beer at these venues. And so I said, look, with a tasting model and something that really, you know, features the local breweries in Philly or wherever, and we'll bring founders and friends in and focus on Michigan big time, but I gotta focus local first and then bring in my Michigan friends and make it just a good rah-rah.
So I think that people think Sam Porter only pops up twice a year, you know, in Traverse City. You've got your tent venue all over the country. Like this week you had Green Bay. Yeah. Your crew was there with your tent. I mean, if you've seen the Space Age.
A big event there, right?
Yeah, we're...
And it goes all over the country. Then it goes to Colorado. You were in San Diego at one point. You go down to Texas. I mean, nationwide, your company, your tent venue is on the road every week.
Yeah, right. I mean, right now, locally, my focus is helping my community, sponsors, fundraisers, events, you know, events that can't afford it. I sponsor as much as I can to give them, you know, the tools they need to be better. Like helping you guys, you know, just whatever you need. If there's a power distro run, if you need, you know, a better speaker system, or you just need the little things, a stage with a tent that actually covers the artist and gives them a trim height so when they put lights on it, it's better. I call that the community program, so that we can help our market grow. But at the same time, right now, our huge, you know, 20,000 square foot tent is in Madison, Wisconsin with our client Reebok. It's a 3-year contract.
Wow.
It's with the U.S. CrossFit World Championship, which is a big deal. It's 20,000 people. Next year, we're
holy smokes.
You know, next year, we're taking a bunch of other programs like paella and silent disco stuff. And
so this is a CrossFit. This is not necessarily bands and stuff.
This is a retail, a massive retail pop-up store.
Wow.
I can share. I'll send you guys a link that you can put on your Facebook site. It's a
Joe tried to open the door and
he
get
just
out.
Opened the door and it swung back closed.
Sorry, people at home. We need to have this on Facebook Live or something.
Yeah,
it's too much fun here.
He's right. He's hilarious.
We're gonna put a GoPro. I got the doggy GoPro harness. Yeah, put him in there.
Well, that's all exciting. But looping it back, because obviously this is a big week in 10 years. Yeah. One of the first things you did was go to the Winter Microbrew and Music Festival when you came to town. Oh man.
Yeah, you were just starting it up.
First year of the winter one.
I've been to all of them except one, I think, of any of these. I love going to them. I mean, there's kind of a feel of, you know, there's people from all over the state, especially the brewers themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll say, where are you guys from? Because I don't know where every brewery is right. from. And they're like, oh, we're from Holland. We love it up here. We make, you know, we make the week of it. You know, they're having a little sip behind the counter. I'm having a little sip on the other side of the counter. And then one time I was in this little hut, you know, like in the middle of the winter, there's like these huts and like 12 people in this little hut, and we're all, you know, and they're just pouring
Brew shack.
Oh, the brew shack. The
bar, yeah,
and it looks like friendly, you're barned, happy,
a lot smaller.
Friendly, happy people drinking beer and wanting to meet, you know, very social people. You know, mm-hmm. it's just a different kind of, you know, it's not an uptight atmosphere. You know, you could just walk up to anybody and say, hey, where are you from? You know, I live in Traverse City. And people, just big smiles walking around, great music, good food. You know, the food trucks are incredible these days. It used to be, I always get a big kick out of this, is that when I worked in a factory going to community college and before radio, and I was 19 and just miserable, and the Roach Coach used to pull up, and it was the mobile dining cart in the like for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, there's like only chop suey in there, and like it was like a couple of warm sodas, and it's like that's all you had to eat, so you just slop it on there and you give the guy $4 or $5 and you feel terrible afterwards. But now it's like food trucks is like, we need food trucks. We love food trucks. And I love what they did downtown with all those food trucks and the two different areas and stuff. And I go down there for lunch all the time. I love it. And it's just, you know, good quality food, sustainable, like there's Harvest and all those. Who's going to be, you know, look at me. I'm focused on the food. What do we got for food this weekend?
Well, you know, the cool thing about a festival is you hire what's new, you know, you hire or you support really what's new. And, you know, because what was at the first festivals like Harvest and all these, you know, food trucks that are all at Little Fleet, you know, now they're kind of anchored into a space. But so they're all there's all these new food trucks that, you know, are looking to develop a brand, looking to get some anchor gigs to help them make it through the winter.
Excellent.
You know, so we're bringing in, we're bringing in our standstills with Pigs Eating Ribs for barbecue.
Yeah.
You know, the great family, great group, great food. And then we're bringing in, of course, our paella and our wood-fired pizza system.
Oh, the paella.
You know, and our paella is so key because it feeds not only, you know, the people, but it feeds our brewers, it feeds our musicians, it feeds our volunteers. So it's like our kitchen on, you know, everywhere we go.
Yeah.
You know, these giant pans.
I'm on the website right now.
What kind of paella is it going to be this year?
You know, we'll probably do a couple seafoods, but we'll definitely do our four meat. It's a Valencia-style paella, and we'll do a vegan vegetarian. Right now, it's great because it's Harvest, so we just go get so much fresh food.
Yeah, and I'm on the website right now, and I see, what's this chocolate freaking bacon?
Yeah, chocolate freaking bacon. They come every year, man. And they, you know, it's literally bacon chocolate and a bunch of different variations. God. It's really good.
We're so busy, we've had to stop shipping online for the rest of the summer. We'll resume in October. See you at the Microbrew and Music Festival.
Nice.
Chocolate freaking bacon out of Linden, Michigan.
Linden?
Yeah. Well, cool.
And
yeah,
you know, I saw a sign the other day that says corn is now available. The local corn.
Yeah,
is
Halls.
Now,
remember
being harvested.
We used to get the Halls all the time? Yeah.
I went out to did a site inspection at Camp Omelet again this week, and I saw that one of the farmers, it might have been Gallagher's or something, fresh corn is now available in northern Michigan.
Yeah, Halls is amazing. We just had the best corn I've had all year last night, and it's kicking in. I hope to. We've always wanted to have more corn at our festival, and I grew up on a farm where my grandpa, my dad, and I would sit on a hay bale and you know, husk hundreds of them and have corn, this little corn festival. So I grew up on this farm that was like what I do now. It was like my little kid petri dish of everything my dad did was about, you know, bringing community together and, you know, raising a barn with an Amish style with 100 people. You know, going out in the woods with horses and cutting wood in the middle of winter with 10 friends and hauling it back out with chains. And
what's it like growing up in that kind of atmosphere, Sam? Like,
it's,
you know,
amazing.
When you're on a farm,
it's incredible.
But do you feel bummed out? Like, do you like, you know, kids always want what they can't have. I don't know if that was the case in your case, but like, you know, if there's nothing to do and you're just sitting there and like, I don't know how many acres you're
farm yeah, was. Hundreds to work on. It was an 80-acre farm, right? It was the oldest farm in Kalkaska County, right on the top of Valley Hill. And it was, you know, it's what's called, I guess, a gentleman's farm. So my dad was a water quality engineer. And so he worked for all the hospitals and the, you know, Chef Pierre and everybody throughout all northern Michigan, and was really, really responsible for changing all the effluent water. You know, they used chemicals back in the day, and my dad would call them snake oil. And he would, you know, really help put things back into the bay and the water that wasn't going to destroy the ecology.
Wow.
So he was a smart, just a, you know, a very quiet but very smart guy. He built solar powered house. He had a, he started a small winery in 1970 there and didn't sell it. Everything we made and we created horse drawn alfalfa and traded for, you know, maple syrup down at the Macaulay's.
You're kidding.
No, it wasn't.
That's awesome, man.
So it was a true just like living farm where everything we created, we celebrated versus sold. And that was fun to have that kind of, you know, that's how it was in the old days. Like everyone traded to take care of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, the currency of friendship and the currency of community is, so I try to bring that into the festival and it's a unique attempt because, you know, people get so hung up on, you know, A, B, C design. And what we do is we try to let it be a community. I mean, we have hundreds of volunteers. We pay everyone. The brewers don't pay table fees. They all get paid for their beer. We never have charged. And that's a unique model. We want to support the economy of the local business, the small craft brewer, all the contractors. And so that brings millions to the economy over 17 events. And, you know, it's a good thing to celebrate. So this is our 10th year. So I hope people come out and we keep it going because it's hard to do in Traverse City.
They're definitely going to come out.
As Joe says.
And especially this Friday for the Led Zeppelin Zofo.
Yeah,
is
going to
be taking
awesome.
The stage. And I would not be late for that. It's late afternoon start time, right?
Yeah.
5 o'clock or so?
Yeah, so Friday doors are at 4 and then general it is 5. Saturday it's early bird, if you got those tickets, is 3. Saturday's the big kind of sacred day. You know, that's where we have the Home Brewers Challenge, which this is our 9th one. And now so many of those winners, they own breweries, you know. So we like doing that. And then there's the Rare Beer Tour, which everyone freaks out for. That flies. You can tell because there's like 150 people that like migrate like, you know, ants across the festival to each site. And then Saturday, you know, we have May Early Wine and the Motivations with her like R&B funk. I mean, that.
Oh, what time is she getting on stage?
She's going to hit around, I think, 7 o'clock.
Wow.
Oh, early. Perfect for the O-Man.
Well, yeah. You know what? It is perfect for the O-Man because everything wraps up around 10 o'clock. So I want people to get there early.
Yeah.
You know, get there around 5 o'clock because people think go out around 7, 7:30, 8 o'clock. That's way too late. You're going to miss half of the night.
Well, right. The value is if you get there early. I mean, people are asked, like, well, what do I get with my ticket? I'm like, well, first you get a music festival that's worth a ticket without all the free beer from the best beer in the world. But you get over, you get 45 ounces. So you get... five half pints. You get 40 ounces of beer with your ticket. So that's a great start. So
totally.
And then if you go through the Home Brewers Challenge and you get 7 free 2 or 3 ounce taste. So you're looking at, you know, almost 60 ounces of incredible craft beer from around the world and especially Michigan with a full 3-stage music festival. So it's like this, you know, it's such high value. So I'm really trying to, you know, encourage that it's not just tents with beer. You know, it's really good food. It's entertainment everywhere. It's just absolutely every time you turn your shoulder, there's something to do. And I think people, when they go, wow, that's fun. That's really worth my time and energy. So
Sam, I'm just not sucking up here, but in addition to sucking up. No, but how do you do the music? You must have somebody that helps you because it can't just be you.
No.
I mean, it's so fantastic. I always get introduced to something new that I was not expecting.
Right.
I discover a new band like U4Quest.
Yeah, they're
from Colorado. I got on their mailing list. I bought their CD.
They're awesome.
Band, there's like 10 people on stage just jamming. They got strings. They got horns. They got backgrounds. I mean, it was awesome.
Well, you know, there's festivals that you book what everyone knows. Like if I book Styx, everyone knows Styx, right? But what I like to do is also have festivals that is new music. So you as a, you know, a musical connoisseur can go and see a show that you had no expectation that would rock your brain. right? And you walk away going, that was effing amazing.
Right.
Like, that really was a great band. So like last year we had the Revivalists from New Orleans. Now they've number one alt rock for like 7 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. They're played over and over and over. And last year, you know, I got them for, you know, like 10 grand or now they're 50. And it's, so it's that whole like, you know, how do, you know, I live in that river of music. So I love to bring in what's, you know, I also look at the Michigan bands who are working really hard. You know, obviously like the Accidentals will be there and, you know, May Early Wine will be there and Brother James will be there and mm-hmm. G-Snacks will be there and Biomass will be there and yeah. all these, you know,
Delilah
bands.
DeWild.
Yeah.
She won't be there this
she
year.
She won't be there.
I know, but I love her. I discovered her at the Microbrew.
At the Winter Microbrew yeah. Festival. Yeah. It was like one of her first times
performing
up here.
There was another band that had a tuba player.
Yeah.
You know, just there's all kinds of horns, all kinds of strings, all kinds of different kinds of music. Some rockabilly. There could be some jam bands. There could be, you know, an amazing guitarist. Who's our friend here that plays with
Lathe or Billy Strings?
Billy Strings.
Yep. Yeah, Billy
he's
Strings.
Played there a bunch of times. May Early Wine, don't miss her on Saturday.
Yeah. You know,
and now bringing some Led Zeppelin, some serious classic rock on Friday night.
Yeah, and you know, they play the real, you know, not album, like live show
they
cuts.
Play some deep cuts.
They've been playing for 20 some years right now.
That's incredible. And do they have the look and everything like Led Zeppelin?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you don't have to shut your eyes and feel like you're at a Led Zeppelin show. You can look at these guys.
Wow.
So I'm excited for Zeppelin fans. If they get out to this, they're gonna have a real treat. You know, and they can walk around and try up to 300 beers while they're getting ready for the show. And
300 beers.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to try all 300
yeah,
this
yes.
year.
Yes, me too. Bring your checklist.
If I do 1 ounce each, that's 300 ounces. How many beers is 300 ounces?
Yeah.
How many pints? Hey, speaking of Delilah DeWild, she is coming in a couple of weeks. She's going to be playing over at the filling station.
Yeah.
You should go check her out.
She's great.
At the filling station on that outdoor stage they have there.
She has a stand-up bass, and she gets on the bass, and she's playing it while she's standing on it.
On top of it.
You didn't read my article about her. I'm disappointed in the beer magazine. She doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, she doesn't?
She quit doing it. She didn't want her show to be a novelty anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she quit doing it.
Get on the bass, honey.
Oh, man. And I can't believe his wife is feeding us again. This has been how I've been bribed into coming over here every Sunday to
food,
do these podcasts.
That's right.
Food, I need friends in a backyard patio and get away
from
it. Otherwise, it's just a really boring podcast with just me talking to my dog.
Well, you know, there's some, you know, I'm throwing out there, you know, we're working on this idea called the Hometown Throwdown around Thanksgiving. And Billy Strings, Accidentals, all these artists come home because their families are here. Billy hasn't played here in a year, right? And so I've been talking with his agent about doing something really creative around that the day before, you know, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving when everyone goes out and parties.
Yeah.
We're like, well, let's get together and do something really weird.
Oh, yeah.
And bring a lot of people in. And I'm helping a kid who's a 12-year-old little prodigy. His last name's Moss. And you see him on our website, but he's trying to raise money for a Fender guitar, his dream guitar. And so it's about $12,000. So, or I'm sorry, $1,200. And so we're going to do a show, put him on stage, make him feel like a rock star in a local community with Billy and all these guys.
Oh, man.
And then bingo, just like Accidentals and Billy and these guys, he's off. He's gone. Like that.
Holy smokes.
So I love that. That work is what I want to do more in Traverse City. Less, you know, let's do Kid Rock on the open space, which I wouldn't do.
Where has Billy Strings been? In Nashville?
Yeah, so he's been based
touring around
out of Nashville, but he's headlining the top festivals and just crushing. I mean, he is crushing it. I mean, the guy
good
is...
Good for him.
Just, I mean, from when I met him playing on the patio at Left Foot Charlie in outside of our office downtown, you know, I played with him at Left Foot one night, and I introduced him to his agent, so I have a really good relationship with his agent, and so anything that's unique or weird in Northern Michigan, I really want Billy to come home and have a show that's really, you know...
Heck yeah!
...special, and so, you know, but these guys now...
Now you
gotta
talk
here.
To Billy's people.
Yeah.
He's got people now.
Right. Oh, yeah. He's got thousands.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just saying, what about these three artists? What if you get the Accidentals, Billy Strings, and you get Joshua Davis all on a tour and tour around playing theaters? I think that's quite possible, isn't it?
Yeah,
do those guys get along, or they want to do things on their own?
No, they want to do things on their own. The way to make something like that work is to get like a platform of Michigan brands like Pure Michigan and XYZ. so that it, you know, and make it, find a Michigan bus company and find a Michigan food companies. And when they go to that show, for everything from the Michigan merchandise to the band to the everything, and as long as they're paid well,
you could have Meyer do that, or and do Saginaw, do Kalamazoo, maybe just tour around Michigan.
And all three of those
and they could
have
play big places.
That'd be all fun. Three of those have names outside of town. Josh Davis is getting ready to release his new album on September 8th, The Way Back Home.
It's going to be really good.
And he's got a tour going. He's doing He's doing some gigs in Michigan right after that album comes out. Yep. So, yeah, but that's a great idea.
Yeah. No,
I mean, always felt like that would have been good, like Bob Seger, Ted Nugent, and Mark Farner all touring together.
Yeah.
But their ship has sailed.
Yeah, no, it's way more fun to bring together a story or a purpose with a show now for me than just book a show because they're going to sell tickets, right? So, you know, we've done like 20 shows at the Opera House and a lot of different stuff there. And, you know, we did a show, we helped kind of highlight the historic Barnes. You know, the Barnes was given, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to be a cultural arts and community center. And, you know, it's doing a lot of weddings, but, you know, I like to go into there or Kirkbride Hall and do a full professional production so that people can see how that room really sounds.
Sam, if it wasn't for you, I would have not known about the Barn.
Right.
And, it's a shame that they don't want to do more events like they did with Mayor Erlewine.
Yeah.
But, you know, they want to sort of do, the castle. The castle in Charlevoix went all weddings. Like, they don't do the concerts. Like, but people remember Metallica played there.
Sting, Rod Stewart,
Poison, all these Def Leppard. I went Def Leppard. I was like, what?
Guns N' Roses.
And now they do weddings.
Yeah. But I have heard rumors that there is in the works a major outdoor concert facility coming.
That's what we need.
I've heard rumors of to that effect. So we'll see.
What's the zoning like on something like that?
All depends. Just don't put in Leelanau or Traverse City.
Right.
Or where Old Camp Omelet was.
Oh, fresh rolls.
Look at this. Whoa. Did you make those?
What's in these?
Oh my gosh.
Those are
egg and cheese
biscuits,
sauce.
Fresh fruit.
Look at this. We got to get a picture of this.
The
Sorry,
stuff is
people.
Baked into the buns? Yeah,
I'm bringing a studio audience next week, and you can...
Oh, like we got some fresh fruit and breakfast sandwiches, but all the breakfast, the sandwich stuff is inside of the buns.
Yeah, let's get a nice photo of this here. Okay. Yeah, go ahead. You can, grab one of those. We'll...
Wow.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
This is how you do an interview.
Yeah. Hey, as we're getting ready to wrap up, you know, there's little public service thing, though, that I wanted to toss out. Maybe if we do another podcast or two. But we're just a couple of weeks away from the total solar eclipse, and people are going eclipse crazy.
August 21st.
Yeah, and it's you know, we're not going to see it 100% here, obviously, but the path line is Portland, you know, through Nebraska, down into Tennessee.
Southern Illinois is going to be complete.
Southern Illinois, the very end, St. Louis area and in that area there. We'll have some up here, but this is the crazy thing. This is what the big warning is. There are people selling glasses that won't work, eclipse glasses that are dangerous. Like, if you wear these things, you're going to get blinded. So you've got to make sure that it sounds funny,
Rick,
but
and just so happens that Rick is selling eclipse glasses.
I have the official eclipse glasses. And if you go to the Omelet website here, you'll be able to get them. So
it's
just
like
make
capitalist
sure,
terrorism.
Yeah, you get the right glasses for that. So
don't buy them from Mr. Windy. These are eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
You only need one lens.
Oh, it's the puppy bowl again. They're getting excited about the eclipse, Joe and Cooper and all of that. But
You know what, I don't get a lot going on, so I think I'm gonna go head down to Southern Illinois and watch the eclipse.
Yeah, perfect.
I got nothing else going
on. Just don't get blinded before Camp Omelet.
Right. Sam Porter, you're a good man. I want everybody to go to his website, Porterhouse Presents, and his dog Joe is absolutely adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Running around, bringing some life into these old dogs.
Wow.
We've got to videotape them.
Okay.
he comes running at Cooper at full speed, both paws right in his face. little beautiful.
Cooper said,
"All right,
enough.
Okay,
enough.
Let's wrap up the podcast. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Really means a lot to me. And thank you, Sam Porter, for coming over so early on a Sunday morning. Remember, everybody, if you shop online, if you order stuff from Amazon, you can help out the podcast by going to omeletradio.com first, and then there's a banner on the lower right, and then you just click through. Doesn't cost you any more, and it throws us a few bucks. All right, thank you, everyone. And again, Camp Omelet's coming September 8th through 10th, but we'll see you this weekend at the 10th Annual Traverse City Microbrew and Music Festival. Sam Porter, thanks for coming by, brother.
Thanks for the ears, guys.
Thank
you. See you this weekend.
You are listening to the Omelet Radio Podcast on omeletradio.com.